You're listening to Kyle Warren.
So, first week of August, they say we're supposed to hear Joe Biden's pick for the running mate. And earlier today, I start seeing reports that seem to indicate that Karen Bass, representative from California, might be moving up the list, basically. So I see this and I think this has got to be a red herring. It's got to be. I can't imagine that they would actually pick Karen Bass. But I think they're putting it out there, folks, just to try to get the Democrats, when he does make his announcement, to sort of breathe a collective sigh of relief when it's just Kamala Harris. And so it's a ploy. Stay with us, folks. All right. Welcome, everyone, around the globe and across the net. It is the Friday/weekend edition. That's right, folks. It's the day of the week when we keep you entertained and informed a little bit more than we do throughout the rest of the week, if that's even humanly possible. And as always, we do our level best to send you off into your weekend with a smile. Oh, thank you very much. A singing host and making his contractually mandated and obligatory appearance here on the broadcast. Welcome, folks. It is the Friday/weekend edition. Glad to be with you and glad that you're here. And it is, of course, Friday, July 31st, 2020. We're heading into August, folks. Lord only knows what August 2020 is really going to hold, but we're going to meet it head on. I know that. And also, folks, we do have an awful lot to tell you about on the program today. We're going to tell you about, of course, this possible pick for VP for Joe Biden. I've got some great information about that possibility. Also, the impasse between the House and the Senate bills proposals for the next coronavirus package. That is not going well, to put it mildly. Also, in Minneapolis, and I just saw this just a little while ago, Minneapolis, the city council may not be in such a rush to follow through with the whole thing of abolishing the police department. So we'll find out about that. And plus much, much more on the program. We will also hear some of my appearance from earlier this week on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program with host Captain Matt Bruce. And of course, I'll be a guest later on this evening for the Captain's own weekend edition of the Captain's America Third Watch. And all that happens at 11:05 p.m. Pacific, 2:05 a.m. Eastern Time. Simply go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There you'll find links to listen live to the Captain's flagship station of AM 860 The Answer there in Tampa, Florida. And hope to see you there on the radio later tonight. The Captain and I, of course, will have a complete wrap-up of all of the day's coronavirus-related issues, events, the politics that are wrapped up in it, and also, of course, the news that you need to be hearing. And news does break, even in the overnight hours all across America. And when that happens, the Captain and I will bring it to you live right there on the radio, on the Salem Media Group of stations, and of course along the GCN network as well. And also, folks, if you like what we do here on the program, we do ask that you consider subscribing to the program. You can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. We have a big beautiful subscribe button right there where you can use your favorite podcast software players and so forth. There are all kinds of options to listen and to subscribe to the program. And also, if you like the program, we do encourage you to share it on your social media, because we're here for one reason. That's because of you, the listeners. And I really do appreciate all of the support that we get here on the program, all the good wishes. It really, really means a lot. And I just want to say thank you right here at the top of the Friday/weekend edition. Okay. So let's start out. We're going to talk about the Karen Bass thing here in just a little bit. But let's start out with what's going on with the impasse on the coronavirus stimulus package. Now, the $600 unemployment boost is coming to an end, of course, on Friday here. This from CNBC, the $600 boost in weekly unemployment checks ends Friday. And also, by the way, before I get too far into this, I do want to say we are tracking Hurricane Isaias that is now, of course, coming through the Caribbean, through the Bahamas area, I believe, tracking through there. And, of course, it is slated to come to Florida, then go up the East Coast. President Trump is there in Florida today, and he is talking about the storm preparedness and so forth there with the governor, I believe, and other officials, other representatives. And of course, it is going to be very, very important to get everybody prepared, everybody hunkered down in order to be ready for this hurricane. And this is, of course, nothing to sneeze at. You know, they have the categories and so forth. But to me, and I don't have a lot of experience going through hurricanes, but it seems to me a hurricane is something you got to be ready for, got to prepare for. And all of our good friends in Florida and, of course, going up the East Coast, and all of our friends in the Caribbean as well, because as many of you may know, the Captain's America Third Watch is also heard throughout the Caribbean as well, in Puerto Rico and on different stations there as well. So so we have a lot of connection there, and our thoughts and our prayers are there with you for safety and for provision all through this storm. So getting back to the CNBC article, the $600 boost in weekly unemployment checks ends on Friday, with negotiations between Democrats and Republicans at an impasse. Millions relying on that aid are in the dark as to what comes next. Meanwhile, the economic recovery appears to have stalled or reversed. Coronavirus infections are surging. Eviction protections have expired for many, and plans to reopen schools remain in flux, potentially requiring many parents to forego work for child care duties. It's not clear. It's not clear. We're on a very clear trajectory out of this economic downturn, said Beth Akers, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research and former staff economist on President George W. Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. So I'm very concerned for when we take away the $600 from unemployed people. Well, on its face, it looks like it is something that this is, that if they didn't get the $600, would be a total disaster. But we know, and this has been going on for a while, the Democrats wanted this in there so that they could essentially pay people more money than what they would have been making even at their job. So again, this is an emergency measure. And I'm not trying to get people not to get an extra $600. But what I am saying is that because the Republicans have come up with a stimulus plan. The president himself wants the actual stimulus payments to be higher than the $1,200. I don't know if it will actually get there between all of the negotiations. But I think, again, as an emergency stopgap measure, this is what they are trying to get through. The Democrats, you have to remember, are playing this for politics only. They are trying, and matter of fact, yesterday on the program, we talked about how Nancy Pelosi says that, you know, Republicans have a disdain for working people and all these kinds of things. They are trying to simply position themselves for a larger political sort of win in all of this, when in reality, the payments are supposed to be part of that emergency measure that is being taken because this virus has befallen us for whatever reason. If it was released on purpose or if it got out on accident, whatever the case may be, and I think we're going to have to deal with that here as we continue. But right now, people are hurting and people need those stimulus checks. And the Democrats, again, they want to be able to get, and I just hate to say this, but they do want to get people dependent on the government. And when we see that a lot of people didn't go back to their job because they were making more, well, that does, you know, it screws up the economy at that point, and it keeps unemployment high. And who do you think might want to benefit from that? Oh, look, unemployment's so high, they might say. Well, they're the ones actually setting the foundations and stage for that. We're back right after this.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Coming in for a landing means a pilot must balance crucial factors, including airspeed, flaps, and rate of descent. A pilot must also be prepared for the unexpected, such as engine failure and wind shear. When it comes to your income property, having the right pilot at the controls can mean the difference between a safe landing and one that will cost you. Investors Property Services. We manage income property. www.investorshq.com.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AMVET's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country, helping you to navigate the complex VA system free of charge. With new presumptions for Agent Orange exposure and other conditions, AMVET's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all of your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVET's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVET service officer or to learn more, visit AmVets.org.
After a long, hard day in the rough and tumble world of politics, open a tall, cool Kyle Warren show. Ah, that crisp, refreshing taste. That smooth style. That effervescing attitude. And without all that other stuff that can, well, bog you down. Helping to put back what the daily media assault takes away, listen to the Kyle Warren Show weekdays right here on this station and visit the website at kylewarrenshow.com.
I'm Ron Edwards, host of the Edwards Notebook. Class is in session with the professor of politics, Kyle Warren.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Ron Edwards. We're going to hear from Ron a little bit later on in the program. And we have so much more to tell you about today as we continue racing through and rocketing through the Friday slash weekend edition. Don't forget, you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. There you can find me on Facebook, friend me on Facebook, join me on Twitter, check out my video pick of the day, and of course, subscribe to the program, all that and much more right there at KyleWarrenShow.com. And we keep going up and up and up, folks, just like the music is doing right there. And that is all because of you, the listeners. And we totally, totally appreciate the support. As I've been saying, we just really appreciate it. And, you know, we wouldn't be here without the listeners. And, of course, a lot of you are already finding us at our new home at podbean.com. That's KyleWarrenShow.podbean.com. And so keep it coming. And we're going to be here. And, of course, we'll be on the Captain's America Third Watch later on this evening, 11:05 p.m. Pacific, 2:05 a.m. Eastern. And we'll hear a little bit from my appearance earlier this week where we were talking about Bill Barr hearings on Capitol Hill. And it's funny, I think this was on the air with the captain. I said, well, this was kind of a kangaroo court. The captain, he corrected me and he said, no, it wasn't even reaching a kangaroo court. I mean, this was even below that. So he was right. And it was just a travesty and a disaster for the Democrats. It's, you know, sometimes I wonder, it's like maybe they don't understand that they're making the campaign commercials so easy, right? You know, especially, you know, when they're just badgering Bill Barr, and you could have a ad where, okay, they're badgering Bill Barr, you know, and Representative Jayapal, I'm losing my temper, you know, this kind of thing. And then just sort of cut to the attorney general asking all of the, you know, the panel, but I think mainly the Democrats, is it okay now to attack and burn down federal courthouses? I mean, you know, what kind of questions are these? I mean, we have to ask these in this day and age. And we have to, people are taking sides, I guess, with the, some are siding with the insurrectionists. They say, no, these are the protesters. No, we're not talking about protesters, you know, because protesters don't fireworks at the police. They don't try to burn down federal buildings and so on and so forth. And so it is going to really, really heat up. And it has been heating up. In fact, let's take a look here real quick, because, of course, what happened in Minneapolis with the and again, you know, protesters should protest and bring attention to an unjust death. Of course, everybody agrees that should not have happened. But of course, what we've seen now is a lot of people, Antifa and the anarchists, agitators, insurrectionists, as I've called them, they are using this as an excuse now to do things that would literally be unthinkable. And by the way, they think that the United States is some fascist, terrible place to live where, you know, they have, you know, no rights or whatever like that. I'm talking about the agitators, those that ilk. Well, if they really think that, you know, maybe they should go try that in an actual country that actually does have total control. It just wouldn't work. And one of the reasons why there's so much restraint going on is because that is our nature in this country. We abhor violence. We abhor, you know, conflict like that. And only when it's absolutely necessary. And so, unfortunately, you know, I think that people are seeing them for what they really are. But of course, here from Fox News, members of the Minneapolis City Council supported the idea of abolishing their city's police department after George Floyd's death in police custody. But a recent vote indicates that the city may not be in a rush to follow through with the plan. The Minneapolis Charter Commission voted earlier this week to keep a police reform proposal off the November ballot. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reported the measure would have scrapped a city requirement to maintain a police force of a size based on the city's population. This was the first of two proposals going before the Charter Commission, with a more sweeping reform proposal up for a vote next week. That measure, if added to the ballot and then passed, would remove the city's charter, would remove from the city's charter the requirement to have a police force. Instead, a community safety department that may not have any officers could take its place. We're being robbed. Quick, call the community safety department. You know, this doesn't have the same ring to it. Someone's breaking into my house. This sounds like a job for the community safety department. Doesn't have a good ring to it, does it? I'm being attacked. Sounds like a job for the community safety department. None of that, you know, none of that tracks, does it? How about pulling somebody over because they have a violation? And turns out that they're on parole or they're a hardened criminal and they have a gun. The community safety department, I would just perchance to think, would not be equipped to deal with dangerous criminals. That's just what I'm saying. And you never know. See, that's the thing. Why do you think, you know, the police pull you over? And they don't know who they're pulling over. They don't know what to expect. We've seen tragedy happen when somebody has pulled out a gun and shot the police officer just because they pulled him over because they made an illegal left turn, right? But they didn't want to go back to jails or, you know, so these kinds of terrible things happen. And I, again, perchance to think, community safety department would be ill-equipped to deal with actual crime. A number of commissioners believe both proposals would be bad ideas. I believe that if one of these measures were to pass, the voters of Minneapolis The result would be a giant self-inflicted wound. Commissioner Dan Cohen said, according to the Star Tribune, Cohen said that if either proposal were approved, crime would soar, property values on our homes would fall, and people would flee the city. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely, absolutely right. Number one, I think that not only would property values fall, people would flee the city, but there would be some kind, I think you'd have property owners, business owners, people just beginning to sue the city for the precipitous acts of allowing these things to happen and doing literally nothing about it, which ruined everything about the city and made it completely unsafe, not a safe environment to conduct business, whether it be retail or administrative or anything like that. And honestly, you know, this is just a tragic tale of what happens when you give in to the mob. It's just really something. Really something. Other commissioners argue that more research and public discussion needs to be done before either proposal goes to a vote. Meanwhile, in Seattle, hundreds of residents push back against the notion of defunding the police. This is in Seattle now, making their voices heard at a city council budget meeting on Wednesday, according to local reports. Quote, defunding the police is a radical experiment that will hurt the vulnerable, one member of the public calling into the phone-in meeting told the council, according to Q13 Fox. The council is considering a plan that could slash the budget of the city's police department by 50%, resulting in layoffs for hundreds of officers, all as Seattle deals with the coronavirus outbreak and frequent riots and unrest since Floyd's death. Well, again, see, that's most people across the highways and byways of this land do not believe that we should be defunding the police, that we should be abolishing police departments. It's ridiculous on its face. It's not something that's going to hopefully to occur, but we have seen that a lot of police departments have slashed their budgets already. And of course, a lot of these things are for show, like in Los Angeles, and you know they're going to go out and in New York City, what was it, $1 billion, something like that, cut out of the budget and so forth. But you know, a lot of this is for the consumption to say, you know, look how we're being progressive, or we're doing this kind of thing. But people look at that and they don't see it as progressive, and they don't see it as something that is actually going to be helpful. They see something that they see it as a direct sign to quote unquote head for the hills. They see it as a direct sign to hunker down or just simply leave. And when they do leave, and the business people leave, and the people who want to live peaceably leave, they're going to be left only with those who are creating the chaos, who literally want to overthrow the government. And honestly, I don't know how you ever get it back. I don't know how you would be able to get it back once all that happens. But I think a lot of people are sitting back and saying, look, I'm going to go vote in November. Number one, I'm going to go vote. I want President Trump to stay there. The police are behind him. They understand what's going on. President Trump doesn't want this kind of chaos, etc. I think they're going to go down the ticket then from there. I think you got a lot of politicians who have got to be quaking in their boots at this point because they've let it get to this point of total chaos. All right, folks, stay right there. Other side of the break, we've got much more. Right back after this.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. A short timeout, then back with more. So stay right there.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. Stay tuned for the Edwards Notebook right here on the Kyle Warren Show.
The silent majority in the United States today is completely useless and is now part of the problems plaguing society. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, while beautiful cities like Seattle, Portland, and the greatest city in the world, New York City, less than a year ago were attracting millions of tourists from around the United States and the world. Jobs were plentiful and life seemed good and getting better. But there, those on the political left were lurking in their dark, hellish holes, waiting for the right time to begin their demonic mission of riotous destruction of our cities. With no resistance from the police or the so-called silent majority of law-abiding gun owner citizens who have endured burned-out businesses, blocked intersections, murders, rapes of both adults and children. Yet the wimpus Americanus apologeticus silent majority remains silent and unwilling to defend our republic from the BLM Antifa Soros barbarians who will not stop ruining America until America stops them. The so-called silent majority better silence the barbarians before the barbarians silence America permanently. I'm Ron Edwards. Check out theronedwards.com.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. Welcome back as we continue racing through and rocketing through this Friday slash weekend edition, Friday, July 31st, 2020. And glad to be with you. Glad you're along for the show here today, because we have an awful lot more to tell you about. Now, as we mentioned in the intro today, Karen Bass, who's a representative out of California, Culver City, I think, is where she is from. She is rising up the ranks, it would seem, for Joe Biden's VP pick. And I sort of speculated that, you know, could this be kind of a ploy, because she is pretty radical. I mean, maybe more radical than I think might be acceptable to the vast Democrat electorate out there, Democrat voters. And so, again, could this simply be a ploy to make everybody sort of breathe a collective sigh of relief when it's Kamala Harris who's announced? It's possible. It's really possible. And that's the kind of thing you do. You know, you sort of gin up this particular storyline and so forth. And everybody goes, wait a minute. And then you sort of offer them the less controversial, shall we say, pick. And everybody goes, oh, OK, good. All right. At least on the Democrat side. But this from Town Hall, some Democrats are increasingly worried about Karen Bass being Biden's possible VP pick. Let's see. When Cuban dictator Fidel Castro died back in 2016, Bass memorialized him. Quote, as Cuba begins 9 days of mourning, I wish to express my condolences to the Cuban people and the family of Fidel Castro. The passing of the comandante and jefe is a great loss to the people of Cuba. I hope together our two nations will continue on a new path of support and collaboration with one another and continue in the new direction of diplomacy, she said at the time, according to the Culver City Observer. The next month, she took to the House floor to commemorate O'Neill Mario Cannon, one of the Communist Party USA leaders in Southern California, once he passed away. Mr. Speaker, I would like to honor the life and memory of my friend and mentor, O'Neill Marion Cannon, who passed away on January 20th, days before his 100th birthday, she said in January of 2017. These comments are a liability for the Democrat Party, especially in Florida, where a number of Cubans have sought refuge. Representatives Debbie Mercosal-Powell and Donna Shalala, both Democrats, have been outspoken about their concern with the party's shift to being apologetic towards Cuba. It's why they took issue with Bernie Sanders praising Castro's education system. I mean, I don't know. You know, if it's Kamala Harris is the VP pick, you know, there's plenty to talk about for Kamala Harris. There's plenty to criticize. I think there's plenty of things that the American people, once they really start finding out, you know, might have some pretty interesting reactions. But this, Karen Bass, this is really something. I mean, I can't imagine. You know, Joe Biden got the nomination, and I think it bears repeating. Joe Biden got the nomination because he was not Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden got the nomination because he was looked at as being, quote unquote, more moderate. And they were rejecting the out and out, complete, total, you know, sort of revolutionary socialist sort of thing coming from Bernie Sanders and his supporters, his ilk. And now that Biden, you know, is got the nomination pretty much, you know, until it's all official, he is going to, you know, try to pick somebody maybe that is so far out there we can't get a radar fix on him. Not to mention, you know, she's part of that New Way Forward bill that, and in fact, Tucker Carlson the other night on his program pointed out how it was going to, you know, stop deportations of criminal aliens who do, you know, horrendous crimes in our country, this kind of thing. And it's very, very scary. It's just, there's no doubt about it. So honestly, I mean, you know, people who loud Fidel Castro and then talk about Communist Party USA leaders being their mentor, that just doesn't fit in with the American system. I hate to tell you, it's just not part of what we consider to be the way that our country is run and all that. It's just really something. Really, really something. Okay, folks, well, as is our Friday/weekend edition tradition, let's check out some of my appearance from earlier this week on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program with host Captain Matt Bruce, going out along the Salem Media Group of stations and also on the GCN network as well. Without further ado, take it away, Captain.
Well, what a day, what a day, what a day. Attorney General Barr went over to the Hill to testify in front of the House Judiciary Committee. And, of course, the hearings were combative, which is one word we could use. Attorney General Barr also condemned all the rioting at the much-anticipated House hearing. CNN's had a couple of choice things to say about it. But I want you to hear, first of all, what Attorney General Barr had to say, and this kind of sums it up. Here we go.
I now recognize Mr. Chabot.
Mr. Attorney General, would it be accurate to say that it's this administration's responsibility, and of course you're part of the administration, to see that federal laws are upheld and that the federal property is secure and safe and protected? Is that correct?
That's right, Congressman. They're sort of distinct missions. One mission is to enforce federal law. And by the way, the federal government is the sovereign of the United States. We have two sovereigns here. In the United States, and we enforce the federal law all over the country. Every square foot of the country, we enforce federal law. The other is protecting federal property, and specifically U.S. courthouses, which are the heart of federal property in all 93 jurisdictions in the United States. And we have the obligation to protect federal courts, and the U.S. Marshals specifically have been given that obligation. Federal courts are under attack. Since when is it okay to try to burn down a federal court? If someone went down the street to the Prettyman Court here, that beautiful courthouse we have right at the bottom of the hill, and started breaking windows and firing industrial-grade fireworks in to start a fire, throw kerosene balloons in and start fires in the court, is that okay? Is that okay now? No, the U.S. Marshals have a duty to stop that and defend the courthouse, and that's what we are doing in Portland. We are at the courthouse defending the courthouse. We're not out looking for trouble.
Says it all.
Absolutely right, Captain. Again, you know, to have to ask the question in this day and age, is it okay to go burn down federal courthouses? To even have to ask that question shows you how far we have slid. And the Democrats on the committee, the Democrat Party elite, they seem to be just fine with all of these violent acts, with these attacks on the police officers. You know, absolutely, they should come out and they need to condemn this. I haven't heard one word.
They keep calling them peaceful protests.
Well, they don't look too peaceful.
They have been long since hijacked by the radicals that are in the crowds that are in there to do nothing but cause trouble and destroy things and break things and do whatever they can to disrupt what's going on. That's exactly why they're there. There's no other explanation for it.
Well, exactly right. And I think people across the highways and byways, Captain, whether they identify as Republican or Democrat or Independent, they look at these things happening in our cities and they say, why is this going on? I don't think the Democrats are making huge gains with people that have common sense. It's anathema to the rest of us that this is allowed to go on and that it's questioned. In fact, Nadler was sitting there saying, well, you know, you've used tear gas and truncheons on U.S. citizens and all this kind of stuff. And whose side are they on?
Here is Nadler in his own words. Listen to this nonsense. This guy is a moron and a liar.
Okay. It shouldn't be a surprise that the topic of the election.
I didn't say I was surprised. I just asked if you'd done that. So as part of those conversations with the president or his people about the reelection campaign, have you ever discussed the current or future deployment of federal law enforcement?
In connection with what?
In connection with what you just said, in connection with your discussions with the president or with other people around him of his reelection campaign, have you discussed the current or future deployment of federal law enforcement?
Well, as I say, I'm not going to get into my discussions with the president, but I've made it clear that I would like to pick the cities based on law enforcement need and based on neutral criteria.
So, but you can't tell me whether you discussed...
No, I'm not going to discuss what I discussed with the president.
Can you commit today that the department will not use federal law enforcement as a prop in the president's reelection campaign?
We are not using federal
law enforcement. I just want to close with this thought. You really can't hide behind legal fictions this time, Mr. Barr. It's all out in the open, where the people can see what you are doing for themselves. The president wants footage for his campaign ads.
Okay, that's Jerry Nadler, and Jerry Nadler is a liar extraordinaire. When we come back, I'll play the end of that. Kyle Warren will be right back with me. I mean, these people, they wouldn't know what the truth was if it turned around and hit them in the butt. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch, heard live right here on this station from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time, overnight Monday through Saturday. Call 877-969-8600 and tell us what's on your mind.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
In sports, 5 games were featured in hockey action last night.
Every year, millions of people rely on portable generators when they lose access to electricity. But some of them don't understand that a portable generator's carbon monoxide emissions can kill if their generators are used indoors. So we're here to clear the air. Always take your generator outside, away from windows and doors. When you take it outside, you distance yourself from the dangers of carbon monoxide. For more safety tips, visit TakeYourGeneratorOutside.com.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. I'd like to hear from you about the things we're talking about on the program. Go to KyleWarrenShow.com, click on Send Kyle a Message, or send it to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/KyleWarrenShow.
I'm Ron Edwards, host of the Edwards Notebook, and you're being schooled by Kyle Warren, the professor of politics.
Yes, sirree. Thank you so much, Mr. Ron Edwards. As we continue through this Friday/weekend edition, and, Mark Meadows, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, is saying that the... Democrats have just rebuffed multiple proposals from the Trump administration. This from Bloomberg that they have extended. And of course, now the result of all that is that supplemental unemployment benefits have now lapsed and all these things are happening, and hopefully they'll be able to get something going here soon. But don't hold your breath, folks, where the Democrats are concerned. They are doing this for their political gain, but we got to get help to people who need it, that's for sure. All right, folks, without further ado, let's get right back to my appearance with the captain on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program. Take it away, Captain.
Hi, this is Mike Gallagher. You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch with Captain Matt Bruce.
And indeed, you are listening to me, and this portion of the program brought to you by our very good friends over at Relief Factor. Now, let me tell you something. I take Relief Factor religiously because of the situation that I'm in. I have arthritis, and arthritis can be very painful and debilitating to a lot of people. But because of the natural products that are in Relief Factor, namely turmeric, resveratrol, icarin, and omega-3, it helps to support the body's natural response to inflammation and pain. Now, it lowers and even eliminates pain associated with exercise, everyday living, and whatever it is that you have going on. Relief Factor also targets the underlying problem areas from the four different metabolic pathways to alleviate pain at the source. It is 100% drug-free. I like that. It is 100% botanical and fish oil product made from a clinically developed formula that supports the regulation of key enzymes and proteins, and that's all good for you. It also supports a healthy response to inflammation and decreases discomfort. Now, it comes in individual packets, and it also will support your healthy joints and muscles as well. So here's what you do. You go to the website that they gave me, relieffactor.com/captain, relieffactor.com/captain. And while you're there, take a look at the 3-week quick start. It costs $19.95. And for 3 weeks, you'll be able to take the capsules the way that you should. And you follow the instructions. And at the end of 3 weeks, you will know for sure. $20 is what it costs. You will know for sure what it's going to do for you. And if it works, then stay on it. I have, and it works for me, and I use it religiously every day. Occasionally, I can get by with taking it once a day, but most of the time, I take it twice a day. That's just me, and that's because of the arthritis. Okay, back to Kyle Warren, a professor of politics. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Captain.
We're going to finish what Jerry Nadler had to say, and this is where he starts out laying out the Democratic program, and anything they accuse the other side of doing is something they themselves are doing. So pay close attention, folks, and listen to what's said here.
And you appear to be serving it up to him as ordered. In most of these cities, the protests had begun to wind down before you marched in and confronted the protesters. And the protesters aren't mobs. They are mothers and veterans and mayors. In this moment, real leadership would entail de-escalation, collaboration, and looking for ways to peaceably resolve our differences. Instead, you use pepper spray and truncheons on American citizens. You did it here in Washington. You did it at Lafayette Square. You expanded to Portland. And now you are projecting fear and violence nationwide in pursuit of obvious political objectives. Shame on you, Mr. Barr.
Can I just say, Mr.
Shame on you.
Can I just
My
say,
My time has expired.
Now, his time expired before he started. Because, listen to this. The protesters are not mobs. They're mothers, veterans. Mayors curate real leadership, which entails de-escalation. What am I missing here? Because I kept seeing young people. Lots and lots and lots of young people.
Well, yeah, I've missed where the moms are, you know, firebombing the federal courthouse. I'm missing where the moms and veterans, by the way, evidently, are shooting the fireworks at police officers.
Loaded with nails and screws and glass.
Right, exactly. So I don't know what Jerry Nadler is what channel he's watching here or something, but he's in a different world, it seems. And, of course, though, Captain, he is saying these things, as you mentioned. He's saying these things because that's what the Democrats are doing. They're sowing fear across the nation for obvious political purposes.
Correct.
There's just no doubt about that. And so they invited, or, you know, they wanted Barr to come to the Capitol Hill. But they didn't have any intention of actually asking him questions and talking about anything. They just wanted to bulldoze. They wanted to get their point across, which is an alternate reality. And it is just absolutely obvious what they are doing. And it's actually a disgrace what Jerry Nadler was doing today.
Now, this female representative out of Washington State, I don't know her name. I guess you do.
It's Pramila Jayapal. Yeah.
She says, I'm starting to lose my temper, as she turned around and chastised Mr. Barr. And then he tried to respond to something because she did ask him a question. And then she goes, I'm talking now and you have to listen to me and you'll talk when I tell you.
Yeah, you know, that sounded so scripted to me, Captain.
Well, I heard it from several other people.
Yeah, I think, you know, she was waiting to do that, you know, and for the soundbite, because it becomes this viral soundbite. But I think that Attorney General Barr, while he was trying to explain things to them and answer the questions as best he could, you know, he showed great restraint, in my opinion. And I thought he did a great job doing that. And of course, he had to wait around, I think, for almost an hour before that whole thing to start today.
Well, because poor Jerry Nadler was in a car accident. Of course, he wasn't driving; his driver was, but he was in a car accident, so he had to regain his thoughts.
I suppose so, and we're glad nobody appears to be hurt, but. But even so, later on, Attorney General Barr said, can we take a five-minute break? Sounds like a reasonable request.
Sure.
Immediately, Nadler says no. He finally relented after some goading, basically. But I just think it shows the tone. It shows the tone of what these Democrat elite want to be able to do. If they get real power, they want to rake everybody over the coals.
They're going to.
Yeah, because you might disagree with their idea.
Well,
so
we do.
You have to be destroyed.
We
yeah.
do not want to be a socialist country. We do not want to have communism come into the door and take everything that we've worked so hard for all our lives away from us, because it's going to. They're going to start with the guns. Then they're going to go after your bank accounts. They're going to go after your 401ks and your pension plans. Oh, for the good of the country, it's all going to go in one and you're all going to get the same amount of money. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just going to be heaven on earth. You know, it's just,
and that's what they're going to do. Yeah. That's what they're going to do, because they've done it everywhere else that they've tried to institute socialism or any form of communism. Now, here's the other thing. CNN must have been on another planet yesterday, because they had kind of a bad day. They said that Attorney General Barr's falsehoods and fallacies undermined his own department. That was an opinion piece that they put out there on CNN.com. And then, did you happen to catch the president's press conference?
I was able to see a good portion of it, yes.
Did you see the female CNN reporter ask the question about the coronavirus and the cure or something like that? And she asked it, and she asked it again in such a way, and the president answered the question. He defended the fact that the pro-hydroxychloroquine doctor said the virus will have a cure, and those doctors that were out in front of the Supreme Court that were talking, you know, that challenged the establishment, so to speak, a whole bunch of doctors, and they were getting into it about that, and the president just said, okay, enough of this, turned around and said, thank you, and walked away.
Right, well,
and that was exactly. Because of the CNN reporter.
Well, right, and again, it's because anything to do with actual progress in this whole thing, I guess, is just verboten in the world of the loony left. Only because the crisis has to continue, it has to intensify, it has to again sow fear across the nation for political purposes. And again, you know, the American people, especially in the American scientific realms, you know, we should be able to figure this thing out. And that's the kind of job that President Trump has. But the other people, I think, have a very different job.
And then of all things to have, you talk about disrespect for someone who had just passed away. Sheila Jackson Lee talked about John Lewis, talked about what he did back in 1963, and tried to throw it into modern day play. Listen to this nonsense.
Record a picture of Lewis and Clark History Department chair of shot at protests in Portland. Ask unanimous consent. Place that into the record. John Lewis in 1963 said, "We are tired about being beat by police. We're tired of being put in jail. We want our freedom now." Mr. Attorney General, in your remarks, you indicated that we've made great progress since that time. And you indicated that the killing of George Floyd was shocking. I disagree. It was outright cold-blooded murder on the streets of America, unfortunately by police misconduct. You seem to have a difficult time understanding systemic racism and institutional racism that has plagued so many. Mr. Attorney General, do you understand a black mother's or parent's talk to their child, to their son? Do you know what that is?
I think I do.
I don't know if you do, but Trayvon Martin, Ahmaud Arbery, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, Sean Bell, and George Floyd. Black mothers and fathers have had to talk to their sons.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. We're going to come back and play it just like we did before. This is the Captain's America Third Watch. Sheila Jackson Lee takes this way over the top. Has nothing really to do with why he's there, but she had to make a statement, and she did. But did it help the situation? I don't think it did. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Captain's America Third Watch.
Thank you so much, Captain Matt Bruce. Always a pleasure, folks. Thanks for listening, and we will see you on the radio tonight and right back here on Monday. Until then, everybody out there around the globe.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Take care out there.